Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. His love is extravagant. And we're thankful for having a worship team this morning. God, you created us to worship, and we're going to worship something or someone. And may it be always you, the object of our worship. Some people worship their families, their kids, their grandkids, their job, their stuff. But you're the only one worthy of our praise or our worship. So I pray that we keep that in the proper order. Come and join us. Holy Spirit, lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you weren't here last Sunday, you missed out on our pizza lunch and hearing from one of our ministry partners, Tracy Shellhouse from New Hope Pregnancy Care Center. We've been a supportive partner with New Hope since we've been a church, a monthly supporter. So it's good that she always finds a time to come and share with us, usually in January, but this time it happened to be in March, but that was good. We had a good time together. Hopefully we can get back to our covered dish dinners and worship in the park and joy in the park again. Those were good times. But you know what? Even without that, I'm very thankful that we could have a pizza lunch together. And I hope you were too. We don't have missiles going overhead. We don't have air raid sirens blasting. We're not standing in lines trying to get from one country to another. We're blessed, and we always need to be thankful. Now, the week before Tracy spoke, we were talking about having more of Jesus in our lives, about needing more of Jesus. We need more of him, whether we want more of him or not, but we need more of him. And seeking, that was a key word, seeking more of Jesus' presence in our lives. And I want us to remember two of the many promises that the Word of God gives us when we seek more of him. The first one's in Jeremiah 29. Let's look at that. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with what? With all your heart." All your heart. That's a promise from God. And a promise from Hebrews 11, verse 6, is that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So he rewards you and he rewards me if we will really earnestly seek him. What's the reward? He's the reward, right? He's the pearl of great price. He's that treasure that we all need. And we looked at those two verses 2 weeks ago, but I got to tell you, I needed to be reminded of them because I'm not seeking him as much as I need to. I can just admit that to you. Maybe you're not seeking him as much as you need to either. So let these two verses be a reminder to all of us this morning, okay? They're both promises to us. They're incredible promises. It's not on the screen, but you know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33 to seek his kingdom first, right? Not our little kingdoms that we're trying to build, but to seek his kingdom first and to seek his righteousness first. And all that other stuff that we wonder about and worry about at times, he said he'll give us that too. So there's a priority there to seek his kingdom first. He's such a good provider for his children. So in staying with this seeking theme, the title of this morning's message is Seeking More of His Presence, Part 2. It's kind of a continuation of the message 2 weeks ago. Only today we're going to be in Psalm 27 and Colossians chapter 2. So Lord, open your word up to us as Rob prayed. Just give us ears to hear what your spirit is speaking to us this morning. We need to hear this. You got something for us this morning. So give us ears to hear it and then apply it to our lives out there in the real world. Amen. Amen. You know, almost 20 years ago now, I was on staff at a big church in Ottawa. And every Monday morning, we'd have a staff meeting. And we kind of go over how Sunday went. Now, of course, we met Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So it was three gathering times that we would kind of review and ask, how'd things go? How did this work? What do we need to do more of? What do we need to do less of? And sometimes it was very helpful and good, and other times it seemed like a corporate America boardroom meeting, you know? But I remember back then there was a real push from leadership, and not just the church I was at, but it was pretty much widespread, especially in mainline denominations, to create seeker-friendly services. Does anybody remember the seeker-friendly service move, right? Now, I don't hear as much about that as I used to. Maybe it's still a thing in the mainline denominations. I don't know. But there was such a huge emphasis on creating more seeker-friendly services. You know, the people that weren't sure what they believed or where they fit, but they were seeking, they were searching for truth, and they were curious. And man, sometimes it seemed like manipulation. It's like you were trying to gear this whole service to appeal to that person or this group of people. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but to me it just seemed like, I didn't think it was sounded, felt real authentic. And it was in one of those staff meetings at this big church that I asked this question. Shouldn't we all be seekers? Now, the senior pastor didn't care for that comment too much. But it was an honest question. Shouldn't every one of us be seekers, no matter how long we've been connected to the church body? Shouldn't we all be more like King David? Not the adulterous, murderous King David, not that guy, but the man who was seeking after God's own heart. That David, shouldn't we be more like that? And in spite of his many, many flaws, David kept seeking after God's heart. So we need to seek his heart. We need to seek his presence, right? We've been talking about presence the last couple sermons. And that Hebrew expression for that is seek his face. When you said seeking his face, you were seeking his presence. So we need to seek the Lord's face. And we need to be children of God seeking our Father's heart. Now keep this in mind. His words are his voice, all right? That's his voice, his words. His voice is not his face. His presence is his face, and his hand is not his heart. I hope that makes sense. Let me just say it again. His words are his voice. His voice is not his face. His presence is his face, and his hand is not his heart. Because see, if we're only seeking after the actions of his hands, you know, the things he can give us, the things he can do for us, if we're only seeking him for that, we need to stop. And we need to consider that behind all this marvelous works of grace and kindness and generosity and provision, behind all that is an eternal, holy God. Now, he's our Abba, right? He's our Papa. And he's a good Papa. He's a loving Papa. But he's also our holy, eternal King. He's the sovereign ruler of the entire universe. And on top of all this, he's got a real personality. He's a person. He's not just this cosmic force. He's a person. And as our loving Father, he desires and he longs to be in this close, intimate, personal love relationship with every one of us as his beloved children, like that song we just sang, capture my heart again. And that's what we need to pray, that he would capture our hearts again, because that's what he wants. He wants our hearts. And sometimes our hearts wander off in different areas. And I hope you're one of God's children. Because if you're not part of his family, you can change that before you leave here this morning. Because Jesus already paid the price for the forgiveness of all our sins. He did all the dirty work for us on that cross. And if you're still not convinced that he's the only way to the Father, we need to talk. Because he said that. I didn't say that. He said he's the only way to no one come to the Father except through me, meaning Jesus. Because we're talking about eternity. Forever. You don't want to play around with your eternity. So if you're not sure about any of that stuff, stick around and we'll talk. Because we have a Father in heaven who has that strong desire to have that close, intimate friendship and relationship with us. He wants to spend time with us. God with us, right? Emmanuel, that's one of the names of God. God with us. He wants to spend time with us. Let me ask you something. Would we be content to just read about our loved ones? Content with just hearing their voice. Well, before smartphones and all this new technology, to call somebody and hear their voice was better than not hearing from them at all. But today, would we be content with just hearing our loved one's voice? Probably not. Not if we could see their face. Not if we could be in their presence. We'd want to embrace them, right? We'd want to hug them. We'd want to see their face. We'd want to see the smile on their face. I mean, why do we have photos of people on our fridge? Or photos of loved ones hanging on our walls? Or pictures of loved ones on the mantle over our fireplace? Or in our wallets or on our phones? We want to see their faces, right? I know I sure do. That's why so many people post photos on Facebook and Instagram. Although some should probably have never been put out there in the first place. But we want to see their faces, not just read about them. And that's why when Skype first came out, wow, that was a big thing. You could see somebody and you could talk to somebody that's not even in the same country as you. And I guess FaceTime on our phones and Zoom has kind of taken over that as the way to see and talk to someone who may be in another city or in another country. These Zoom meetings, you know, it's made it possible for people like my own daughter to work from home, you know, because they're having these meetings on a Zoom call. But you can talk to someone who may be on the other side of the world, or they may be downtown. Not only can you hear their voice, now you can see their face. So it's like being in the same room with them. That's one of the great things about technology, especially if you have loved ones that you don't get to see much of or get to talk to much. You can hear them now. But not only can you hear them now, you can see them now. So shouldn't we be people who are seeking the face of the Lord? Shouldn't we desire to be in His presence? All right. Some of you are movie buffs. Does anybody remember the movie that these two guys were in 2007? Anybody? What was it?
Bucket List.
Bingo. Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, right? That's back in 2007. That's when this church was birthed, 2007, so it's been a while. Two guys that have a list they want to go do before they die off or kick the bucket. And I hear people talk about their bucket list, you know, checking off things they want to do, places they'd like to go visit, things they'd like to accomplish while they're still here. Did you know David, the shepherd king, had a bucket list? It was a short list. He didn't want to climb to the top of Mount Everest. He didn't want to run with the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. He didn't want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. In fact, he only had one thing on his bucket list. Look at Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing. I think that's where IHOP probably got the name for their New Year's conference. One thing. One thing I ask from the Lord. Well, that's a short list. Just one thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek. There's that word seek. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord every other Sunday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. No, he doesn't say that. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why is that, David? Why do you want to do that? To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. You know, that word gaze doesn't mean just an occasional glance once in a while. Gaze means to fix your eyes in a steady, intent look with eagerness and with attention. You're really focused. You're really tuned in. That I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. In other words, David wants to spend all his time in the Lord's presence. Now, we have time restrictions. We have to be certain places, certain times. We can't just sit around gazing on the beauty of the Lord, but we can have that spirit in us. We can have that attitude about us, that worshipful attitude where we are in his presence, because we need to understand the Old Testament belief of God's presence. We know the Lord is omnipresent, right? He's everywhere all the time. We have the indwelling presence of God living in us in the person of Holy Spirit, if we're born again believers. That just should blow our minds, that the indwelling presence of God is living in here. Whew. Christ in us, right? The hope of glory. Those aren't my words. That's God's word in Colossians 1. But in the Old Testament, you went to the temple if you want to encounter the presence of God. And David is saying, of all the things I could ask you for, Lord, this is the one thing I want the most. This is the one thing I seek. This is a very concentrated focus and prayer. His greatest desire was to live in God's presence every day of his life. And we think giving him a couple hours a week is a big deal. You know, a lot of people have decided to accept Christ as their Savior. They want to live for God, but they haven't really decided to seek his presence. They haven't decided to press in for more of him. Look at David's heart in verses 7, 8, and 9 of Psalm 27. He says, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord." Remember, part of the seeking his presence is calling out to him. "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. So your face, Lord, I will seek." Now notice, it wasn't his mind, it wasn't his intellect, it was his heart, the wellspring of life that said, seek his face. So he said, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. See where the emphasis is? It's on his face that represented his presence. "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior." There's a plea for help here, and there's a pursuit of God's face. And David doesn't want to be rejected in his plea, and he doesn't want to be rejected in his pursuit. We don't either, do we? I hope not. Remember the old saying, the proof of the desire is in the pursuit. How bad do you want something? Well, the proof of it's in how bad you're pursuing it. And in our busy, hectic lives, we still need to find some time to seek the face of the Lord, to seek his presence. You might think, I can't get any quiet time. I wake up, it's noise from the time I go to bed. But we all need to commit ourselves to some of this kind of face time, right? Every day, not just Sunday mornings, but every day. But when we do come together on Sunday mornings, when we do show up together under one roof, let's enter his gates with thanksgiving. Let's enter his courts with praise. Let's come into his presence with joy, with singing, with worship like we just did, with praise and even sometimes with tears and awe and wonder. But also let's come into his presence with quiet time, you know, being still before the Lord. In prayer time, when we're conversing just one-on-one with our Heavenly Father. I hope you'll be able to take some time for that over the next 3 days during our First Fruits fast. See, face time with the Lord, that can be a time of worship wherever we may be, here at Joy, at home, in the car, out backyard, out in a field somewhere, going on a hike, having private devotions, reading the scriptures, praying, listening, learning the will of God and then obeying it. Knowing like King David that even though the world is messed up, and that includes Disney World, but even though the world's messed up, we can still be confident like David that we will see the goodness of the Lord while we're still here. Look what David says in verse 13 and 14 of Psalm 27. He said, "Yet I'm confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living." One translation reads, "I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I believed. I am confident that I will see. Not just hear about it, but will see it with my own two eyes. I believed and I am confident that I will see it. See, that's the protection against despair, being confident and believing that the goodness of the Lord will be manifested in this lifetime, not just the life to come, But in this present life, but we get impatient, right? We get impatient waiting to see the goodness of the Lord when the world's so full of wickedness and ungodliness. We can get discouraged after seeking and seeking and seeking and not seeing any evidence, not seeing any goodness, not getting any revelation, not getting any breakthrough. But we need to adopt David's mindset and believe and be confident that we will see the Lord's goodness while we're here. We just need to have our eyes opened so we can see it and then be thankful for it, because the goodness of the Lord is all around us. I believe we all know that. It's just waiting sometimes on God's timetable that frustrates us. Like, how much longer are you going to let this go on, Lord? When are you going to do something about this? So that's a challenge, waiting on his timetable. And David, King David, knew a thing or two about waiting on God's timetable, didn't he? I mean, he got anointed to be the king, I think he was like 16 years old. But he didn't become king until he was 30. That's a 14-year wait. For a 16-year-old, that's a whole nother lifetime when you're 16, and you got to wait 14 more years. Look what David says in verse 14. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Maybe he was trying to talk himself into it. But I think he's telling someone here this morning to persevere in believing. Persevere in believing that God will come, that God will show up, that God will deliver, okay? I just think somebody needed to be reassured of that this morning. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave. Be courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. How many know there's a difference between waiting and waiting patiently? You know what our problem is? You know what our biggest problem is? We're Americans. We don't like to wait. We don't want to wait, right? We want everything now. So we're not good at waiting, and we're even worse at patiently waiting. But I got to ask you, do you really want to eat green strawberries because you don't want to wait for them to turn red and get ripe? I don't think so. Do I really want to take a big bite out of that DiGiorno's pizza as soon as it comes out of the oven instead of waiting for it to cool off because I'm hungry? No, I don't think so. We don't like to wait, though. There's that old saying, God's seldom early, but he's never late, right? All right, I got off the subject a little here. I'm talking about seeking God's presence, seeking more of his presence. And my prayer for several years now has been that we all would have a greater awareness of his presence in our daily lives. That we won't just believe he's present, because we know our theology teaches us where two or more are gathered, there I am in your midst. Well, we know it's true, so we know he's here, but do we have an awareness of his presence? Greater awareness is what we need, that he's present right here, right now. The reality is that's true, right? He's here right now with us. Emmanuel, God with us, he's here right now. We may not be aware of that. We may not perceive that. But that doesn't mean it isn't true. You know, people have seen angels here on a Sunday morning, at least two different times that they told me about. And I remember one time I was probably sitting where Tony was, and the worship was over, and I started heading down the aisle. A guy taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around, and he says, "Hey, I just saw two angels by your music stand, one on each side." And I went, "Are they still there?" You know, I'm looking around. He goes, "No, but they were there, and you got nothing to worry about. You know, you're covered, bro. Just go let it out. Go do your thing." That brought me such peace and encouragement. And then another time, a lady that used to sit all the way in the back, she said during worship, she saw like a glory cloud starting to form behind the team, and out of it, this angel just started floating up through this room, and it got towards the back there, and it was just kind of hovering, and then it just went. And I thought, wow. I said, is it still there? She says, no, it's gone. I said, dang. So I haven't seen him, but people have seen him. So I want to pray, Lord, right now, right now, I'm asking you, give us a greater awareness of your presence here this morning. Give us a greater sensitivity to your presence, Lord. Amen. You know, the early disciples and the early followers of Christ, they had their own struggles with grasping the presence of God in their lives too. Because you got to remember, their teaching was, you go to the temple. But all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and he's telling them that he was the way and he was the life and he was the truth and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And then he told them, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. I mean, that had to be strange teaching for these people. And then Jesus said, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Oh, that part must have really thrown him. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. But now we got to remember, sometimes these guys were real knuckleheads and they didn't always understand what Jesus was telling them. This was one of those occasions. And Jesus says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. He says, so from now on, guys, you do know him, okay? And you have seen him. You got it? And Philip says to Jesus, Lord, just show us the Father. That'll be good enough for us. And, oh, wrong answer, Philip. Wrong answer. And Jesus told Philip, come here, Philip. No, he didn't do that. He was kind. He asked Philip, don't you even know who I am yet? Even after all the time I've been with you, you can almost sense some frustration with Jesus. Don't you even know who I am after all this time? I'm like, come on, Philip. Now, we don't know if Jesus raised his voice or not, but couldn't you imagine Jesus saying, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Capiche? It's not on the screen, but in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the writer says, the Son, meaning Jesus, the Son reflects God's own glory, and everything about him represents God exactly. Wow. The Son reflects God's own glory, and everything about him represents God exactly. Look what the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. He says, don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world and not from Christ. Boy, a lot of that's going on today, isn't it? Man. Don't miss this part. For in Christ the fullness of God lives in a human body. That would be Jesus' body, right? And he says, and you are complete through your union with Christ. He is the Lord over every ruler and authority in the universe. Wow, there's a lot in those three verses. For in Christ, the fullness of God lives in a human body. You want to see God? Look at Jesus, right? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, is what he told them. Now, we know the disciples had the advantage of seeing Jesus in the flesh, face to face. They were with him. They ate with him. They traveled with him. They ministered with him. They worshiped with him. They saw the miracles, and they saw Jesus when he was tired. They saw him when he was hungry. They saw him when he stubbed his toe. They were constantly in the company of the living, breathing, walking, talking God-man, Jesus Christ. And yet they still had difficulties grasping the reality that this Jesus fella, this rabbi, this teacher was really God in the flesh. They struggled to understand that in Christ the fullness of God actually does live in a human body. But I wonder how they felt as time went on and they kept learning and listening and learning from the Master, especially after the resurrection when he taught them, and then they really knew, right? Now they knew who was really teaching them. They were learning from God. They saw God face to face in the resurrected Jesus, and now they finally got it. Now they finally knew they were in the presence of God in the flesh. that's just mind-blowing. It must have been mind-blowing to them when they finally got it. Now, you and I don't have the advantage of seeing and watching and listening and spending time with Jesus in the flesh like they did. But remember what Jesus told old doubting Thomas? He said, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. That'd be you and me, right? And we might think it would be easier to believe all this stuff if we could see Jesus face to face, like right here, like the disciples did. And some people have. I mean, in visions and holy visitations, Jesus is showing up in dreams and visions. And he's appearing to Muslims in their bedrooms. You sure won't hear about that on the 6 o'clock news, but it's happening. Jesus is showing up in Muslims' bedrooms and asking them why they're persecuting him. And Muslims are getting converted to Christianity. It's happening all the time, but we don't hear much about that. Now, I haven't seen him yet, right? But I do see him in other people. I see that Christ-likeness in others, and that encourages me. I hope you're seeing him in others as well. But Jesus says we are blessed if we can believe without seeing him. And we have all the proof we need in the Bible, right? It's all in Jesus' teachings. It's in the prophecies about Jesus that have already been fulfilled. It's in the testimonies of other believers over the years who have experienced supernatural visitations with God. So we have all the proof we need. But I got to tell you, a physical appearance right here would be pretty wild, wouldn't it? Wow, that'd be something. Hey, it could happen, right? But you know what? Even if he didn't show up like that in the flesh, it wouldn't make Jesus any more real than he already is, right? And one day we will see him face to face if we're born again. But until that day, let's keep seeking his face. Let's keep seeking more of his presence in our lives, because he shows up where he's welcomed, where he's invited. Of course, he also shows up where he's not invited too. But he's attracted by our hunger for him. Let's ask him. Let's ask him to give us a greater awareness of his presence. All right? Psalm 105, verse 4 tells us, seek his face, or seek his presence continually. Seek his presence continually. So let's not give up. Let's seek his presence now. Let's not just say it's for other people, or other people are saying we've had these incredible encounters with the Lord. Why not us? Why not here? Right? Let's seek his presence now. Let's ask him to make his presence known to us right here, right now. Okay? Who knows? Who knows? Stand with me, please. We're going to pray and we're going to believe for a greater awareness of his presence. Oh, Lord, we read the scriptures, we hear these stories, and your word is alive and it's active, and we hear of occasions where you show up in the midst of worship times or gatherings and meetings, and sometimes you just show up to a person all by themselves. They have an encounter with you out in a field somewhere or sitting up on a mountain looking out at the horizon. And Lord, we know even without that, that doesn't make you any less real. But we do want a greater awareness of your presence, Lord, in our lives, in our families, in our activities, when we're out about, wherever we show up, Lord. We want to encounter you. We want a greater awareness of your presence. Sometimes you'll put somebody in our path and forgive us when we're too busy and we don't have time to stop, but give us a greater sensitivity. That could be, you know, one of your angels that is just seeing. Are we going to respond to this person's need? Are we going to stop and just say hi or smile or whatever the need may be? Let us not get so caught up in our own stuff that we ignore the signals and the signs and the things you're putting in front of us, God. Because we're here for each other. We need each other, and we all need you. So I just ask, Father, to give us greater awareness of your presence, whether it's in our worship time or prayer time, whether it's out in the lobby, whether it's back on the stage, whatever. Lord, you show up where you're welcome. You show up where you're not welcome. You show up where you're hungry. You're attracted by our hunger for you. So I pray that we would hunger for you more and that we would seek your presence more. In Jesus' name, amen.